Good morning, everyone. Would like to, first of all, greet you in the precious name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, the one who we look to for strength when we have our trials. It's been a blessing to be here this morning. I really appreciated the songs that we sang and the Sunday school discussion, and I too was impressed with the thought that we all have our times of weaknesses and we all have our times of strength, and God planned it that way because He knows that we need each other. And I'm thankful this morning that we have this blessing of a church body that we can rely on each other in our journey of life. Some of the songs we sang brought out some inspirations that I'd like to bring out. The first song, I believe it was, God Himself is Present. And in that song we sang, see the host, the throne surrounding, holy, holy, holy. Hear this hymn ascending of angels, saints, all their voices blending. We sang, praise Him, ever in joyful song. We sang, I've got a home in glory land that outshines the sun. And I'm doing my best to reach the home of the blessed and make it easier for those behind. And then that last song, the last verse, traveling to glory, walking with Thee, oh, let Thy mighty hand ever lead me. The message I feel I need to share this morning is a message that as humans, we can't even fully comprehend. And that is on heaven. I ask you to pray for me as I endeavor to bring out some of the things that the Bible talks about relating to heaven. Our minds can't even grasp what heaven will be like. The title of the message this morning is Heaven, Will You Be There? And we're going to start with Revelations chapter 21, probably one of the most popular passages in this subject of heaven. Revelation chapter 21. I would like to first of all bring out the burden for this message is to inspire us, encourage us, and to give us incentive to follow the way of Christ. It's not easy, but it's worth it. The first point that I'd like to look at on this subject is heaven is beautiful. And we're going to look at a few verses here in Revelation 21 and then make some comments. First verse. It starts out, and I saw a new heaven and a new earth. Everything in heaven will be new. Can you grasp that? Can you comprehend that? Everything will be new. In verse 5, it says, and he that sat upon the throne said, behold, I make all things new. You know, when we think of something that's new, it has no blemishes or wear. A new car has not a scratch or dent in the body. There's not a crack or chip in the windshield. If we look at the underside, there's no road dirt, no rust. Everything is brand new. The paint is shiny, the seats are plush, and there's not a rattle anywhere. A new house or a new shop stands tall and straight. There's no sag in the roof. There's no broken windows or cracked or faded siding. Inside, the walls have almost no perfections, no imperfections. The floor is smooth, no cracks or chips in it. You know, you think of a concrete floor that's new, it's just perfectly smooth and no cracks anywhere. But even these new things on this earth don't come close to comparing to the newness of heaven, because they're made by man. Earthly things that are new are never completely perfect. But heaven is. Heaven's completely perfect because it's made by God, who is completely perfect. It's hard to comprehend the newness of heaven. Everything is new. Heaven is beautiful. The second point I have is heaven is prepared like a bride adorned for her husband. In verse 2, "And I, John, saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down from God out of heaven, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband." When we think of a bride adorned for her husband, dressed up in her best clothes, in white as a symbol of purity, with an expression of joy and expectation radiating from her face. That's how heaven is prepared for us. In Matthew 17, verse 2, when Jesus was transfigured before his disciples, his face, it says, it shone like the sun. And his raiment was white as the light. Let's turn back to Revelation chapter 3. Look at a few verses there. Verse 5, it says, "He that overcometh shall be the same shall be clothed in white raiment. And I will not blot out his name out of the book of life, but I will confess his name before my Father and before his angels." In verse 18, chapter 3, "I counsel thee to buy of me gold tried in the fire, that thou mayest be rich, and white raiment, that thou mayest be clothed, and that the shame of thy nakedness do not appear, and anoint thine eyes with eye salve, that thou mayest see." In chapter 4, verse 4, "And round about the throne were 24 seats, and upon the seats I saw 24 elders sitting, clothed in white raiment, and they had on their heads crowns of gold." And jumping back to chapter 19, verses 7 and 8. "Let us be glad and rejoice and give honor to him. For the marriage of the Lamb is come, and his wife hath made herself ready. And to her was granted that she should be arrayed in fine linen, clean and white. For the fine linen is the righteousness of the saints." The saints in heaven will all be dressed in white, representing their righteousness. Dress code in heaven is pure white. Number 3, heaven is beautiful. Heaven will be free of all sin and its consequences and effects. In chapter 21, verse 4, "And God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes, and there shall be no more death, nor sorrow, neither sorrow nor crying, neither shall there be any more pain, for the former things are passed away." And in verse 27, "And there shall in no wise enter into it anything that defileth, neither whatsoever worketh abomination or maketh a lie, but they which are written in the Lamb's book of life." There will be no envy or hatred in heaven, no lust or lies. There will be no pain or suffering, no disease or death. And there will be no more crying, because God will wipe away all tears. And when he wipes away the tears, he'll wipe away all reason to cry. In Revelation 22, verses 1 to 3, And he showed me a pure river of water of life, clear as crystal, proceeding out of the throne of God and of the Lamb. In the midst of the street of it, and on either side of the river, was there the tree of life, which bare 12 manner of fruits, and yielded her fruit every month, and the leaves of the trees were for the healing of the nations. And there shall be no more curse. Jumping down to verse 17. And the Spirit and the bride say, Come. And let him that heareth say, Come. And let him that is athirst come. And whosoever will, let him take the water of life freely. The source of water in heaven will be a river running through heaven, and it will be pure living water. Jesus talked about this living water in John chapter 4. Let's turn there. We'll look at a few of those verses. John chapter 4. We'll just read verses 5 to 14. And the devil, taking him up into a high mountain. I'm sorry, I got the wrong passage here. John chapter 4. Verses 5 to 14. Then he cometh he to the city of Samaria, which is called Sychar, near to the parcel of ground that Jacob gave to his son Joseph. Now Jacob's well was there. Jesus, therefore, being wearied with his journey, sat thus on the well, and it was about the sixth hour. There cometh a woman of Samaria to draw water. Jesus saith unto her, Give me to drink. For his disciples were gone away into the city to buy meat. Then saith the woman of Samaria unto him, How is it that thou, being a Jew, askest drink of me, which am a woman of Samaria? For the Jews have no dealings with the Samaritans. Jesus answered and said unto her, If thou knewest the gift of God, and who it is that saith to thee, Give me to drink, thou wouldest have asked of him, and he would have given thee living water. The woman saith unto him, Sir, thou hast nothing to draw with, and the well is deep. From whence then hast thou that living water? Art thou greater than our father Jacob, which gave us the well, and drank thereof himself, and his children, and his cattle? Jesus answered and said unto her, Whosoever drinketh of this water shall thirst again. But whosoever drinketh of the water that I shall give him shall never thirst. But the water that I shall give him shall be in him a well of water springing up into everlasting life. Once we taste or have a taste or have a drink of this water, we won't need water anymore. It's living water. It produces a well springing up inside us, and yet it runs freely to all who would take of it in heaven. The tree of life will be there, just like it was in the Garden of Eden. You know, after Adam and Eve sinned, they were forbidden. They were banned from eating the tree of life, because they could not have eternal life as long as they were under sin's control. But because of the forgiveness of sin through the blood of Jesus Christ, there will be no evil or sin in heaven. We will be able to eat freely from the tree of life when sin's control over us is completely destroyed and our eternity with God is secure. Then we'll be able to eat of the fruit of the tree of life. What a glorious picture of the beauty of heaven. Number 4, there will be no darkness in heaven. Revelation 21, verses 23 to 25. And the city had no need of the sun, neither of the moon to shine in it. For the glory of God did lighten it, and the Lamb is the light thereof. And the nations of them which are saved shall walk in the light of it. And the kings of the earth do bring their glory and honor into it. And the gates of it shall be shut at all by day, for there shall be no night there. Chapter 22, verse 5, and there shall be no light there, and they need no candle, neither light of the sun, for the Lord God giveth them light, and they shall reign forever and ever. God and the Lamb, which is Jesus, will be the source of light in heaven. There won't even be a sun or moon to shine in it. There will be no need for a sun. There will be no need to shut the gates for nighttime security. The gates will always be open. No need for night watchmen looking for trouble, lurking in the shadows. There will be no night. Heaven is beautiful. Number 5. We can't even imagine the beauty of heaven. 1 Corinthians 2:9 says, "Eye hath not seen, nor ear heard, neither have entered into the heart of man the things which God hath prepared for them that love him." In chapter 21, verses 10 to 14, "And he carried me away in the spirit to a great and high mountain, and showed me that great city, the holy Jerusalem, descending out of heaven from God, having the glory of God, and her light was like unto a stone most precious, even like a jasper stone, clear as crystal, and had a wall great and high, and had 12 gates, and at the gates 12 angels, and the names written thereon, which are the names of the 12 tribes of the children of Israel. On the east 3 gates, and on the north 3 gates, on the south 3 gates, and on the west 3 gates. And the wall of the city had 12 foundations, and in them the names of the 12 apostles of the Lamb." In verses 18 to 21, "And the building of the wall of it was of jasper, and the city was pure gold, like unto clear glass. And the fountains of the wall of the city were garnished with all manner of precious stones. The first foundation was jasper, the second sapphire, the third a chalcedony, the fourth an emerald, the fifth sardonyx, the sixth sardius, the seventh chrysolite, the eighth beryl, the ninth a topaz, the tenth a chrysoprasus, the 11th a jacinth, and the 12th an amethyst. And the 12 gates were 12 pearls. Every several gate was of one pearl. And the street of the city was pure gold, as it were transparent glass." I did a little research on some of these names of these stones that were used in the 12 layers of foundations that the walls of the city were built on. And we can't imagine what it must look like. Jasper is a reddish quartz. Sapphire is a blue gemstone. Chalcedony is a bluish green color. Emerald is a deep green gemstone. Sardonyx has layers of reddish brown and black and white in it. Sardius is an orangish red gemstone. Chrysolite, a greenish yellow gemstone. Beryl is a mineral stone that varies in color. It can be green, blue, yellow, white, red, pink, purple, brown, and orange, a whole wide spectrum of colors. Topaz is another mineral stone with a variety of pale, clear colors. Chrysoprasus is an apple green gemstone, like a pale green, light green. Jacinth is an orange red to purplish red, transparent gemstone. Amethyst is a deep purple quartz. All of these gems or quartz stones, I don't know how to describe it. If you look up pictures, they have like a luster that makes them look almost clear, almost transparent. Like they're radiant. Their colors are radiant. Every layer, a different stone, a different color. And verse 21, it says that each gate was one big pearl. Larger by far than any pearl in the world. I did a little research, and from what I found at this point, I believe the largest pearl in the world is about 1 foot by 2 foot. And it weighs about 75 pounds. Valued over $100 million. Each gate, there are 12 gates. Each gate was one big pearl. The city and the streets, pure gold, like clear glass. In order for gold to be clear, it must have every impurity removed from it. And gold in its purest form is an extremely bright yellow and is extremely reflective. Astronauts in their face shields have a very thin layer of gold injected in the glass to help reflect light and heat. And that's just a very thin layer. We cannot imagine how bright heaven's glow really is. Heaven is beautiful. Heaven is real. Heaven is not a man-made fairy tale. It's not a myth or fantasy made up by someone's wild imagination. We've just come through the Christmas season, the popular imaginary story right now was of this man dressed in red and white, riding through the air, coming in through chimneys and filling stockings with Christmas gifts. That is a myth. That is not real. And we should have no part in this story. It's fake. But heaven is real because God promised it. In Isaiah 65:17, "For behold, I create new heavens and a new earth, and the former shall not be remembered nor come to mind." There's many Old Testament prophecies about heaven. John 14:2-3, Jesus said, "In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye may be also." Jumping back to Revelation chapter 1. Verses 1 to 3. The revelation of Jesus Christ, which God gave unto him to show unto his servants things which must shortly come to pass. And he sent and signified it by his angel unto his servant John, who bare record of the word of God and of the testimony of Jesus Christ and of all the things that he saw. Blessed is he that readeth, and they that heareth the words of this prophecy and keep those things which are written therein, for the time is at hand. Jumping back to chapter 22, verses 6 and 7. And he said unto me, "These sayings are faithful and true." And the Lord God of the holy prophets sent his angel to show unto his servants the things which must shortly come. "Behold, I come quickly. Blessed is he that keepeth the sayings of the prophecy of this book." Heaven is real. God promised it. And God's promises never fail. Another aspect of the reality of heaven is that it can be measured. And I don't bring this out to limit its size. But the fact is, it can be measured. It's real. It's a reality. It talks about this in Revelation 21, verses 15 to 17. And he that talked with me had a golden reed to measure the city and the gates thereof and the wall thereof. And the city lieth foursquare, and the length is as large as the breadth. And he measured the city with the reed 12,000 furlongs. The length and the breadth and the height of it are equal. And he measured the wall thereof 144 cubits, according to the measure of a man, that is, of the angel. Maybe these measurements are symbolic, but I thought it was interesting to convert them to miles and feet. The length, 12,000 furlongs, is about 1,400 miles. And it's four square. 1,400 miles long, 1,400 miles wide, and 1,400 miles high. Just the length and width would make it nearly 2 million square miles. The walls were 216 feet thick. We can't imagine a city that size, bigger than any city on the earth, and it's made of pure gold. Heaven is real. Heaven is eternal. In chapter 22, verse 5, the second part of the verse, it says, "And they shall reign forever and ever." Chapter 11, verse 5. "And if any man will hurt them, fire proceedeth out of their mouth, and devoureth their enemies. And if any man will hurt them..." I'm sorry, that's wrong. 15. Chapter 11, verse 15. "And the seventh angel sounded, and there were great voices in heaven, saying, The kingdoms of this world are become the kingdoms of our Lord and of his Christ, and he shall reign forever and ever." Matthew chapter 6. Verses 19 to 20. Jesus says, "Lay not up for yourselves treasures upon earth, where moth and rust doth corrupt, and where thieves break through and steal. But lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust doth corrupt, and where thieves do not break through nor steal." Treasures in heaven will never rust or deteriorate. They will last forever. The precious stones that are used in the foundation and the walls are not just beautiful. They represent eternal value. There is no substance in the world that can deteriorate or destroy gold. And when eternity begins, time will be no more. It's forever. Eternity. Heaven is eternal. Next point I have: heaven is worth it. In life, we all face trials and temptations. We saw some of the things that David and his men faced. Sometimes we may feel discouraged and depressed. In Romans 7, Paul talks about his battle with his carnal nature. He wants to do good, but doesn't do it. And the evil that he doesn't want to do, he does. He says in verse 24, "O wretched man that I am, who shall deliver me from this body of this death? I thank God through Jesus Christ our Lord." In Romans 8, verse 8, "For I reckon that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared to the glory which shall be revealed in us. Let's turn to 2 Corinthians chapter 4. 2 Corinthians chapter 4. We'll start reading at verse 8. We are troubled on every side, yet not distressed. We are perplexed, but not in despair. Persecuted, but not forsaken. Cast down, but not destroyed. Always bearing about in the body the dying of the Lord Jesus, that the life also of Jesus might be made manifest in our body. For we which live are always delivered unto the death for Jesus' sake, that the life also of Jesus might be made manifest in our mortal flesh. So then death worketh in us, but life in you. We have the same, we having the same spirit of faith, according as it is written, I believed, and therefore have I spoken. We also believe, and therefore speak, knowing that he which raised up the Lord Jesus shall raise up us also by Jesus, and shall present us with you. For all things are for your sakes, that the abundant grace might through the thanksgiving of many redound to the glory of God. For which cause we faint not, but though our outward man perish, yet the inward man is renewed day by day. For our light affliction, which is but for a moment, worketh for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory. While we look at not at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporal, but the things which are not seen are eternal. For we know that if our earthly house of this tabernacle were dissolved, we have a building of God, an house not made with hands, eternal in the heavens. We are troubled yet not distressed, perplexed but not in despair, persecuted but not forsaken, cast down but not destroyed, because we have a hope of heaven. Our eternal reward far outweighs the afflictions that we face today. Are you struggling with confessing hidden sins in your life, things that aren't right in your life? Are you afraid of what it will do to your reputation or affect how other people will look at you and think of you? Don't hold back, because in the end, it will be nothing compared to the glory which you will receive in heaven if you confess it and make it right. 2 Timothy 4, verse 8, henceforth there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give me at that day, and not to me only, but unto all them also that love his appearing. James 1, 12, blessed is the man that endureth temptation, for when he is tried, he shall receive the crown of life, which the Lord hath promised to them that love him. Revelation 2, verse 10. Fear none of those things which thou shalt suffer. Behold, the devil shall cast some of you into prison, that you may be tried. And ye shall have tribulation 10 days. Be thou faithful unto death, and I will give thee a crown of life. Chapter 21, verse 8. But the fearful and unbelieving, and the abominable, and murderers, and whoremongers, and sorcerers, and idolaters, and all liars shall have their part in the lake which burneth with fire and brimstone, which is the second death. Another incentive to strive for heaven is to avoid the alternative, eternity in hell. The Bible has many descriptions on hell. There's weeping and gnashing of teeth, eternal torment, eternal death, eternal separation from God. Heaven is worth it. Philippians chapter 3, verses 20 and 21. For our conversation is in heaven, from whence also we look for the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall change our vile body, that it may be fashioned like unto his glorious body. According to the working thereby, he is able even to subdue all things unto himself. We'll have a new and glorious body, just like Jesus. Heaven is worth it. We talked about the beauty of heaven. Everything will be new. We talked about the glorious hues and colors of the precious stones and the bright gold. We talked about the absence of sin and evil. All of these things make heaven a place to look forward to. We will be able to meet with all the saints and angels. Maybe you have loved ones who have gone on before. What a great reunion that will be. But the greatest incentive of all is to meet God, our Creator, and Jesus, our Savior, face to face. What a glorious thought. Being there, walking and talking with Him, never to be separated again. Yes, heaven is worth it. Who will be in heaven? 21 verse 3. And I heard a great voice out of heaven saying, Behold, the tabernacle of God is with men, and he will dwell with them, and they shall be his people. And God himself shall be with them and be their God. God will be there, and God's people will be there. And verse 7. He that overcometh shall inherit all things, and I will be his God. And he shall be my son. He that overcometh temptation will be in heaven. Verse 23. And the city had no need of the sun, neither of the moon to shine in it, for the glory of God did lighten it, and the Lamb is the light thereof. The Lamb, which is Jesus Christ, our Savior, will be in heaven. Verse 24, And the nations of them which are saved shall walk in the light of it, and the kings of the earth to bring their glory and honor into it. The nations of those which are saved will be in heaven. Verse 27, And there shall in no wise enter into it anything that defileth, neither whatsoever worketh abomination, or maketh a lie, but they which are written in the Lamb's book of life. They which are written in that Lamb's book of life will be in heaven. 22 verse 3, And there shall be no more curse, but the throne of God and of the Lamb shall be in it, and his servants shall serve him. Those who serve Christ will be in heaven. Verse 14, Blessed are they that do his commandments, that they may have right to the tree of life and may enter in through the gates into the city. Those who obey God's commandments will be in heaven. Jumping back to chapter 7, Revelation 7, verses 9 to 17. After this I beheld, and lo, a great multitude, which no man could number, of all nations and kindreds and people and tongues, stood before the throne and before the Lamb, clothed with white robes and palms in their hands, and cried with a loud voice, saying, Salvation to our God which sitteth upon the throne, and unto the Lamb. And all the nations stood round about the throne and about the elders and the four beasts, and fell before the throne on their faces and worshipped God, saying, Amen. Blessing and glory and wisdom and thanksgiving and honor and power and might be unto our God forever and ever. Amen. And one of the elders answered, saying unto me, What are these which are arrayed in white robes, and whence come they? And I said unto him, Sir, thou knowest. And he said to me, These are they which came out of the great tribulation, and have washed their robes and made them white in the blood of the Lamb. Therefore are they before God, before the throne of God, and serve him day and night in his temple. And he that sitteth upon the throne shall dwell among them. They shall hunger no more, neither thirst any more, neither shall the sun light on them, nor any heat. For the Lamb which is in the midst of the throne shall feed them, and shall lead them unto living fountains of waters, and God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes. The redeemed from all over the world will be in heaven. There will be saints from all different conferences, denominations, and cultures. Jumping back yet to chapter 5, verse 11. And I beheld and I heard the voice of many angels round about the throne and the beasts and the elders, and the number of them was 10,000 times 10,000, and thousands of thousands. A great host of angels that can't even be numbered will be there in heaven. Heaven, will you be there? I'd like to read, in closing, the song number 640 in the Zion's Praises. The title is, We'll All Be There. Number 640 in the Zion's Praises. When the last day shall come, and the roll shall be called, when the saints meet their Savior in the air, when the pilgrim and stranger at last reach their home, we'll be there. Praise the Lord, we'll all be there. When the ransomed of earth shall unite in the song that is sung by the angels bright and fair, when the harps all shall ring and the music shall roll, we'll be there. Praise the Lord, we'll all be there. We shall ne'er say goodbye in that home of the soul. There we'll not have a burden or a care. And when Jesus shall say, Enter in with the Lord, we'll be there. Praise the Lord, we'll all be there. Heaven, will you be there? Let's kneel for prayer.